I think I'm going to start reading in Psalm 139. Everybody, I assume everybody here is familiar with chapter 37 of Ezekiel. God speaks to Ezekiel about the valley of the dry bones.
Yeah.
That's a very familiar scripture. I don't want to read it, I just want to talk about it a minute. The valley was full of dry bones. And God said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Lord, thou knowest.
You know better than I do.
You know. And then a few verses down, after he tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones of the Lord, he says, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now, speaking in New Testament terms, what that means is those bones represent spiritual Israel. Represents the church. Not the church world, but the church, you understand? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The members of the body of Christ. And those bones are all out of joint and separated. God tells Ezekiel to prophesy to them, prophesy life to them, and bone will come to bone. All right, now look at, did everybody turn to 139 in the Psalm?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's what I'm going to read. I just want to make reference to Ezekiel because I didn't want to spend all the time reading about something we know very well. This particular few verses here in Psalm 139, 14, 15, and 16 is also a prophecy about the body of Christ. Beginning with verse 14, I'm reading in King James. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows quite well, or very well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. This is speaking about the members of the body of Christ. It also draws reference to Ephesians 4. Verse 16, your eyes, or thine eyes, did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in your book all my members were written, which in accordance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. And what I'm getting at is the body of Christ is pictured here by Ezekiel, and again in this psalm, as not yet finished, not yet perfected. The bones are scattered, and there has to be a coming together of the many members of the body of Christ. And just to say, well, I'm a Christian now, so I'm a member of the body of Christ. Well, potentially that is so. But you're not a functioning member of the body of Christ until Christ is functioning through you.
Amen.
There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for all the people to say, my sins are forgiven, and one day I'm going to heaven. Well, we know that God's expecting a little bit more out of his many-membered body. We are to be an expression of him in the earth. We are to be the channel that he can flow through and work through. He's not going to lift us off somewhere and move us to some kind of safe place while he cleans up the earth. But he's going to move through that many-membered body. The many-membered Christ is what he functions through and how he accomplishes his will. And that many-membered Christ has to be completed. Now, turn to Isaiah chapter 35. There's another prophecy there I want to look at. I'm going to begin reading with verse 3. Strengthen the weak hands. Well, you know what the hands are. The hands is the workings. And confirm the feeble knees. Verse 4. Say to them that are a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with the recompense. He will come and save you. Now, I got in us right there. He will come in us. You can't really be completely saved without him coming forth in you. He has to come forth in us. See? When he comes to be glorified and admired in all of them that believe. Alright. Verse 5 says, then, you know, when he comes forth in us, then the eyes of the blind shall be open, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Now, the wilderness is prophetic, and also the desert is prophetic of that many-membered Christ yet unformed. The waters of life do not break forth out of you until you become wilderness. See, it's the thing that John the Baptist prophesied, I must decrease that he might increase. The more of you, of your self-life that's active in you, the less of him. Streams in the desert, you have to become a desert before those waters of life can come forth out of you. Parched ground should become a pool. Thirsty land, springs of water, and the habitation of dragons for each life. This is prophetic, and this is prophetic of the Messiah that was to come. All of the Jews were aware that this is what Isaiah was prophesying when the Christ came. Now turn to Matthew 11. We're leading up to something here. Beginning with the first verse, Matthew 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison, you see John the Baptist is in the prison at this time, when he heard of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Now you can imagine what John's going through. It hadn't been that long before that John proclaimed, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He knew who he was. But here when he's in prison, doubts arise. And he sends two of his disciples, you go and see if he's the one to come or should we look for another? And let's see what Jesus' answer is. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you hear and see. And then he begins to talk about the very things that Isaiah had prophesied. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So he repeats the very prophecy that Isaiah had prophesied. You go and tell John that these are the things that are happening. You'll understand. Now, it's important that we understand that the blind receive their sight. Now, we're not just thinking about miracle healings in a natural realm. Because when the body of Christ begins to be formed, what happened? Those dry bones that Ezekiel saw, that unperfected body that was prophesied about in Psalm 139. Here we've got members of the many member Christ. Some of them are blind yet. They can't see like they need to see. They don't have the eyesight, the discernment that they need. And the minister of Christ comes in order to not just heal a few people that cannot see in the natural realm, but he comes to heal those members of the body of Christ that are able to see. Some of them can't see. Some of them, their hands are feeble and weak. Some of them are lame and they don't have the kind of walk with God that they need. Some of them haven't had that sanctifying process that you was talking about with that chicken. that had leprosy. Leprosy is a type of uncleanness. Christians aren't unclean, are you kidding me? Leprosy is not thought of as being healed. It's cleansed. You see, there's a difference. There's a cleansing that the many member of Christ needs to be worked. The blind, who received their sight under the minister of Jesus? It was those who were blind and knew they were blind. The Pharisees were blind too, but they didn't know they were blind, and consequently, they didn't see. And he said, because you say you see, you're still in your sin. You're not going to receive sight, insight into the Scriptures. You're not going to begin to see the workings of God until you get to the place that I can't see. I'm blind to the things of the Lord. How many Christians are walking around it? Man, I got it made. You see that arrogance, that pride, thinking they see and they can't. And consequently, they can't come to the place where they can see because they think they already can. When you think you have and you don't have, you've just closed the door to receiving what you need. The lame walk. Now, if we're going to be honest, each one of us is going to have to say, we're still lame to someone. To some degree, we're still lame. We're not walking with God like we need to. Our walk with God still needs some work. And this is the thing that Christ does. The lepers are cleansed. Lord, I admit there's some leprosy here. Clean the bows. You remember when he came down off the Mount of the Sermon on the Mount. As he came down off the Sermon on the Mount around the beginning of chapter 9 in Matthew, the leper came to him and said, if you will, you can make me clean. And he said, I will be clean. Until you get to the place that you know you're not clean like you should be, and you come to the Lord and say, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Mm-hmm. You're going to find a merciful Christ mm-hmm. that's willing to do it. But as long as you feel like you're super duper, there's no cleansing for you. There's no discernment, a sight for you. You're not going to be able to hear as long as you think you can. And that's the problem with the church world today. They feel like they've got everything they need, and they're like the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3. Think they have rich and have need of nothing, and know not that they're miserable, wretched, and blind. And the poor, the dead are raised. There's no dead Christians, are they? Yeah. Every Christian that Christ has not arisen within them yet, there's still a deadness there. The poor have the gospel. The poor, now, you can't look at this and just say, well, I don't have any money, don't have much of a house, I'm just about as poor as you can get. That's not the poor he's talking about. But the poor are those who are meek, those who have eliminated their pride and their arrogance. Listen, in America, you can find the very height of arrogance and pride mm-hmm. among the church world. And Christians today, they don't know. You can't trust God as long as you've got a bag full of money, got everything you need. There's no trust there. Sometimes it's necessary to get to the place that you really are poor, but until you realize you have a need, the need can't be met. God works miracles among those who know they need a miracle. Now, I just want to read one other scripture, and this is found in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. All of these people, but those who are blind, those who are deaf, those who are lame, those who have leprosy, these are people that have been called by God There are people that he wants to move through. They're the ones that's going to become the body of Christ. Don't you remember Jesus saying that the harlots and the publicans will enter into the kingdom before you, speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes with their high and mighty religiosity? Many, many of the people that come in to what God has for them in this day are not necessarily going to come out of churches and religious movements. They'll be coming from some of the unheard of places that you wouldn't expect. How many times Jesus ministered to someone like the tax gatherers, a little woman that was caught in adultery, Pharisees. Lord, Moses said, stone her, what do you say? One of you without sin, cast the first stone. Woman, where are you accusing? I have no idea, neither do I accuse you. I tell you what, he looked over a lot. Mm-hmm. The Christians do not look over today. They're very quick to condemn, to put down. I tell you what, I think we need to get to the place that we're not prejudiced toward anybody. You don't know who you're rubbing shoulders with out there. There may be some, maybe. There's people out there that ordinarily you're not going to have anything to do with them. And there are people that God loves, people that he cares about. So a lame person, people that God wants to meet their heart. He needs somebody to love them and to care for them. Like with your chickens. Just a chicken. No, God looks for people that has love in their heart. He didn't determine where you had to beam that love to, did he?
Well, it was the shepherds. Remember, the shepherds. David was a shepherd.
People that care. He's looking for people that care. The arrogant, the prideful, those condemning Christians are going to be left out of this thing. Well, I said Ephesians 4, didn't I? This is a very familiar scripture that all of you have read hundreds and hundreds of times, probably. But this many-membered Christ is yet unperfected, still got to come together. Don't know where they are. They're just scattered everywhere. They're like a valley of dry bones. And somebody's got to minister to them. Well, here they are. Verse 8. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, speaking of Christ, what is it but that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? I've heard preachers talk about him going down in the middle of the earth. That's not what he's talking about. Christ is going to descend down into the earthen nature of many people. And he's going to arise in some of them as an apostle. He's going to arise with a prophetic ministry in some, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. So, you know, if you happen to be one of those blessed ones, the Lord comes forth in you as apostle, don't get big headed and say, I'm an apostle. No, Jesus Christ is the apostle. He is the only apostle. There ain't no more, just him. But the ones that he moves through, they have an apostolic ministry. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why does he do that? For the perfecting of the saints. Now those saints may not look like saints. In fact, they probably won't. Those saints are going to look like they're lame, they're blind, they're deaf, they have leprosy. Some of them are dead. You know, that's one of the messages in that book I gave you. Is God dead? And the man said, yeah. And some people, God is dead. That's a lot of dead Christians. In fact, Paul talked about that. Verse 1 of chapter 2, you has he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, we were all that way. We were lame, we were blind, we were deaf, we had leprosy, we were dead. But we have to become poor in order to hear the gospel. And so he comes forth in these people as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. And he has to perfect them because they don't look like saints. They don't act like saints. And for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building it up, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That's not each one of us becoming a perfect man, but each one of us being incorporated into Him who is the perfect man. And we all become one with Him. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, because we're lame and we're blind and deaf and got leprosy. You see what I'm saying? The sliding men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Some of those people out there that look like somebody you wouldn't associate with may be a very necessary part of the body of Christ. Paul, who was once Saul, went around trying to destroy the church, became the most important apostle of all. You don't know who you might run up to out there, but every joint must supply for the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You may be one of those unperfected members that need to be perfected, and you may be becoming one of those ministers that's going to be in charge of perfecting those who need to be perfected. Okay, I bless you with that.